You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings all across Greater Austin. How are you guys doing? Welcome. Glad to see you. Everybody okay? Greetings to our communities around the city. Welcome you guys. We're glad you're here. If you're a guest at one of our locations, which means you don't attend regularly, I want to thank you for coming. It takes a lot of courage, honestly. We really try to honor guests because it can be a little scary to come to church and not know anybody and not know the rules of the songs or whatever and not always know the rules of the Bible, etc. So you honor us by being here. Thank you for coming. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr., and we're just thrilled you're at Austin Christian Fellowship this weekend. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We have volunteers in every location coming down, and we'd love to give you a Bible to keep if you want it. And you can keep it or leave it in the seat when you're done, and we'll collect it and maybe give it back to you next week if you want it. And find, if you would, Mark, the fifth chapter. Mark chapter 5. We're in a series, third or fourth week of this, I guess it's the fourth week of this series, called What's So Great About Jesus? And we're spending 8 weeks answering that question. There's a lot of things, in fact, that you could spend eternity answering that question. But we really envision a discussion with people, we call them seekers of purpose, meaning, and truth, who might genuinely say, so what's so great about Jesus? If you're a seasoned church person, you might find that question curious because you've been conditioned and raised and come to believe through love what's so great about Jesus. But if you don't know him, you might wonder what all the hoopla is about. My job, our job, these 8 weeks is to tell you what all the hoopla is about, that there really is something behind him. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for all the people who are here. I pray for our locations across the city, Greater Austin, Texas, that you'll bless them and be there in your presence and power as well. I ask you to humble me, please, and activate my gifts and skills and use me for your glory. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. What's so great about Jesus? Power. We were singing a song here at Four Points just a minute ago, and I was able to walk up and say, isn't it great that Jesus is undefeated? He has no threat. There's not going to be a coup. There's not going to be an election where his term expires. There's not going to be a revolt or a revolution. That revolt and revolution has already happened, and those guys lost badly. They're condemned for eternity. So we've been talking about the things that make Jesus unique in history and also attractive to us. And I want to talk about a really interesting one this weekend. And it's what's so great about Jesus. He has an innate power to him that is unmatched in all the universe. Now I'm going to need you to think for just a minute beyond our measurable, definable, tangible, finite world for just a bit. Because when I say that Jesus has power that's the greatest in the universe, I don't just mean that he's more powerful than the Joint Chiefs of Staff or than a long-range nuclear missile or some army or some big, strong, wild animal. I don't mean just that. I also mean in that realm where angels and demons and God and the devil exist, he's all powerful there too. He doesn't have a threat, friends, regardless of the realm you want to place him in. Now, if you're new to church, that angels, demons thing may seem really weird. I'm okay with that, but I need you to understand it's real. There's a whole lot more going on than you can ever see. It's always there. Let me put the word power on the screen for you and tell you exactly what I mean by this. It's got two really great definitions before I start talking about over what does Jesus have power. The word power means, as you would think, physically. It means might or strength or ability. Someone It's football season. We saw these athletes, you know, that can leg press 600 pounds or bench press 400 pounds or run really fast in the track world championships going on right now, or, you know, that's someone, or have great arm wrestling abilities, or just a physical might to them. So when you use the word power about Jesus, it means that he has a physical ability, and it demonstrated when he rose from the dead. The greatest tyranny, the greatest threat, the greatest terrorist in the world, death, could not contain Jesus. So that ability, that innate raw power in him, supernatural power to overcome even death itself, demonstrates his physical might in all the universe. There's nothing more physically powerful than Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to think about. No other religious leader in history can make that claim or would dare do so. But it doesn't just mean that he's strong. It also means the word authority. That's a whole other ballgame. It means that he has the rule, and it doesn't mean that he can just beat up anybody who comes his way as the risen Son of God. It means that he's been handed by God the authority over everything. So if he gives a command, especially that in the realm of angels and demons and the supernatural realm, he gives a command, whatever's there has to obey it. Now, in our lives, he gives us free will, and we don't always obey it. But in the realm of the supernatural, there's no free will. He speaks, they obey. So when I talk about power and how Christ is amazing because he gives power to our lives, I'm going to talk very practically about that. I mean might and strength and ability. Probably shouldn't try to show you my guns because I don't have any. They're more like pistols. But I also mean authority. I also mean like he's in charge. He's undefeated. The scripture says that God has placed everything under his feet like a footstool. His enemies are under his feet like a footstool. And if he wants to prop his feet up, it's on the heads of his enemies. That's a pretty vivid image. Okay? So this gentle, kind Jesus that you know and worship and believe in, that's him. But the Jesus who rules and reigns now isn't this bleeding, broken, I'm still on the cross guy. He's the risen, reigning, exalted King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bad to the bone, undefeated. Don't mess with him. That was really weak response to that. I'm sure other communities are cheering and yelling over that. But 4 points was like, you're all looking at the football scores. Okay. Power over. What does he have power over? Well, first of all, I'm going to talk briefly about he has power over things we don't understand. And that's a bit of that dabbling into that realm that some of us just find confusing and freaky, but I need to at least explain to you how real this is. So, because if you ever find yourself in a setting where you're outgunned or outnumbered or don't fully understand what's going on, and you maybe just be terrified because of it, have you ever woken up in your house or your apartment or whatever and just sensed evil in your bedroom? I have. Have you ever had a nightmare that was so real you were convinced it was, like, it was more than just a dream, there was something going on? Have you ever been so terrified of something that really you couldn't move? Jesus is more powerful than that. Okay? So in Mark chapter 5, it's this really great chapter, and if I had time this weekend, I'd go through the whole chapter. I don't, so I'm going to tell you one story, and this is, again, I'm just going to need you to work with me, as you may not understand all that I'm going to explain to you here, but it's because it's foreign to some of you. Mark chapter 5 begins, verse 1 says, they came to the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, to the country of the Gerasenes, there in Galilee, at the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, now picture this scene. Try to imagine the eyewitnesses seeing this. Mark was not eyewitness, but he got this from those who were, probably Peter. When Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, there was a cemetery there, a man with an unclean spirit. Okay, let me just unpack that. This is not fanciful, this is not make-believe. There are demonic spirits that can control people, and they're wicked and they're evil. And I've seen mostly in international settings, some here stateside, the manifestations of these things, and they're terrifying. They destroy lives. They only reveal themselves when power is at hand. And this Jesus shows up, and this demonic man, under the influence of evil, comes running up. Look at this description. This is what the devil will do to you. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He had superhuman strength. For he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, and he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. That's a pretty vivid description of, I think, some people you and I know. By the way, the scriptures say in other passages here that he was unclothed. The man has completely lost it. And notice that all that his family or friends or the people in the village could try to do was just chain him. I remember walking to a home in Nicaragua. This is horrible. And finding, the homes in Nicaragua are shacks, cardboard, tin, whatever. But finding a special needs child who had gotten very big and strong, chained to a bed. It's the only way they knew how to deal with him, was just to chain him up. This man couldn't even be chained anymore. He'd gotten so strong, and the power of evil was so great in him that gave him superhuman physical strength. He roamed throughout the night, screaming, yelling, shrieking, completely out of control, living among the dead, hurting himself and a great threat to others. And there was nothing anybody could do about it until Jesus showed up. So friends, there are some things that happen in the world that behind them are these forces of evil and these forces of darkness and things, honestly, we don't understand. And when you're in that setting where you don't understand, you know stuff is really terrifying or really big and ugly, and the world seems to be spinning out of control and you can't make the math add up on what's happening around you, you need to understand, whatever that is, Jesus is more powerful than that. I'm not here to try to convince you to believe in spooks. I'm not. I'm here to tell you that whatever you bump into out there, Jesus is more powerful. That's the point. He's not intimidated by anything. And the amazing part of this story is the effect he had on this man. So, two quick illustrations, one from the physical world, one from the spiritual world. I'm on a mountain early one morning in Colorado years ago, hiking by myself before dawn, all the way up this mountain, and I see these two giant boulders, huge boulders that I'm approaching. I'm above timberline. These massive boulders look like small pickup trucks right in front of me. I thought, this is going to be interesting to get close and see how big these rocks are. And as I got closer, I noticed the boulders started moving toward me. It was two female moose. Moose cows. They look like hippopotamus. What's the plural for hippopotamus? Hippopotami? Looked like two hippopotamuses. They were gigantic. And I realized, I'm out of here. They could wink at me and knock me 50 feet. They were so big. The good news is they were uninterested. But I realized, I'm out here. I've got zero power over these things. Like, if these guys want to take me down, I'm gone. And fortunately, they were uninterested. I walked on the trail and kept going, and we did never meet up again. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you are at, you know, if this goes south, I'm done? Because I'm in a setting where I don't fully know the forces that I'm opposed against. I don't know what's really out here. It's dark, and I know that's big and strong. If you ever find yourself in that setting, that's when you call on Jesus. Because he's bigger than anything you're going to confront. Now, the spiritual illustration is a little creepier, but real. Several years ago, I woke up one night with a sense that someone was standing over my bed. Like right here. Because I was on the edge of the bed on my right side. And so I just had the sense of someone over me. So I woke up and looked, and there wasn't anything there. I turned my head to the left where Susie was lying, and there was over her what appeared to me to be a demon. It looked like a helium balloon, red, that was not enough air to go to the roof, and it was just hovering about 3 feet above Susie. It looked like a disembodied, terrifying globe right there above my wife. And the minute I saw it, it wasn't frightening to me. I got really angry, and I leaned up into it, and it went poof and disappeared. And my wife slipped through the whole thing. That freaked me out. So I got up. It was 3 a.m., 2 a.m. I got up and went and sat in our kitchen and just sat there for a minute and prayed and said, okay, Lord, why did I see that? What was that about? Why did you let that in my home? And I felt like, because I didn't hear a voice, I felt like the response was, Will, that's going on all the time around you. In your home, in your church, with your children, with your bride, with you, with people, there's always junk going on. There's always hippopotamuses out there. There's always moose cows out there. There's things you can't control and can't understand that are bigger than you. Don't ever drop your guard. I let you see that so you'll know what's going on when you're sleeping. Don't ever drop your guard. Now, friends, but for Jesus, that would terrify me. But let's go back to our story and you see how this works. So that's a bunch of those guys were controlling this man here in the tomb. So verse 6, when the man saw Jesus from afar, he comes running up and he falls down before Jesus and crying out with a loud voice, he says, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He knows who he is. "I adjure you, I urge you, by God." Isn't that interesting? He's calling on God to protect him from Jesus. That's kind of funny. When a demon calls on God and says, "Protect me from Jesus." "I urge you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." So this man who'd been terrorized by this force for so many years, when Jesus shows up, game over. Whatever this thing is we don't understand with our brains, that I don't fully understand, Jesus doesn't just understand it. He's got authority over it. That's what I want you to get. Friends, that's bigger than religion. That is a power in the world that cannot be competed with. So the end of the story is, you go over to about verse 15. Here's the final end of the story. The villagers came out after all the hoopla, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, formerly demon-possessed man, the one who'd been had the legion, because the demons were many, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and I love this, and they were much afraid. They weren't scared when he's running around naked. They're terrified now that something's changed all that. They never seen a power like that before. I think it's fascinating. The power that Jesus had terrified them. This guy's bad. He can control demons. Don't mess with him. Folks, we've lost a little bit of that Jesus in the church today. We've lost a little bit of this Jesus who is not intimidated, is not threatened. And when evil raises its head, at the name of Jesus, evil has to run. So that's the first picture I want to give you of this power of Jesus and what's so great about him. When you don't understand something, it doesn't mean it's greater than the force that's within you, because the scripture says, 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Can you say amen to that, anybody? Okay. Whew. Okay, that was just all spooky and creepy. Let's move on, shall we? Second thing I want to tell you, and it's right in line with the first. Jesus has power over things we don't understand. Right in line with that, Jesus has power over evil. He has power over evil. I want you to think about what you would define as evil. Unfortunately, it's going to eventually roll into an activity of someone. We've had a lot of shootings in our country of late. And the commentators these days just typically go, look, this was just an act of evil. Well, what is evil? Isn't that interesting? We label it, it's in that category of things we don't understand. What evil? This was just an act of evil. Unfortunately, evil is typically manifest in the behavior of one human against another, or one human against a group of others. It's a Hitler trying to wipe out an entire generation of people, an entire race of people. That we would say is evil. However you define evil, Jesus has more power than that. In John 17, it's the night of Jesus' execution, the night before his execution, and he's praying. It's the longest recorded prayer in the Bible, John chapter 17. And in praying for his disciples and in by proxy in praying for you and me who are his followers, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. The world is darkness. It's the world without God, the world in the vacuum without God. I don't ask you that you take my disciples out of the world, but while they're in the world, that you keep them from the evil one. Notice the masculine singular form of the word one. Not from evil generic, but from the evil one. That force of evil who has a name, whom I've defeated. I'm asking you to keep them from him and to protect them. Evil is most evident in how people treat people. Evil was present in the 1950s and 60s here in America. Well, I could go back, but when the civil rights movement was really blowing up and white people with authority were doing horrific things to black people without it, that was evil. It was evil that led people to take other people captive and make them slaves. It's evil when someone wishes or does physical harm to another person. There's a source. I'm not taking responsibility off of them, but there's an influencer behind that. See, one of the reasons I believe in God and creation and I don't believe in evolution is because if we lived in a vacuum where there were no spiritual influences, evolution should have gotten us above some of these bad behaviors just for the survival of the race. We should have evolved somehow and found answers and selected out those who want to hurt the herd, so to speak. But we don't live in a spiritual vacuum. We live in a world where we get influenced by stuff all the time, and the arrows are coming in that we cannot explain and we cannot see. And the best of human behavior still is no better than it was in the first humans. The Adam and Eve story, next chapter, there's murder going on. Evolution has no answers for evil. There's something else going on. Jesus, listen, is more powerful than evil. Jesus is more powerful than the fruit of evil. And what's really great about the power of Jesus is one of the, you ready? This is so cool. And I'm going to lay this out there, and somebody at every community needs to say amen or yay God or go get them or hook them, okay? The greatest weapon Jesus has in power against evil is love. Isn't that good? He can flex and flatten the enemy. But the greatest demonstration of Jesus' power over evil is the response of love in the face of evil. That's crazy. That's unheard of. And that's one of those things that tends to, he said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you can outfight the other guys. And when the Romans come to arrest me and you cut off the ear of the guy, I'm going to help you cut off the rest of them. No, I'm going to put the ear back on. That's what Jesus does. Say, forgive this. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus said, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. The way Jesus mutes evil, crazily, the Christians in the plagues, when everybody was fleeing the cities where people were dying from the black plagues, Christians would move into the cities to care for the dying and get the plagues themselves. They weren't afraid of the torment of the plagues. They'd move in to nurse the people who were hurting. It's the Christians giving their lives up still today in history in the name of Christ, not being willing to betray him and loving, praying for their persecutors while it's going on. The fastest growing church in the world today, friends, is in the persecuted nation of Iran. There's a church movement exploding in the face of the resistance there. And the love of Christians for each other is it's non-stoppable. It's power. Folks, there's something about that the Jesus in you gives you the ability to trump evil when you respond to it, when you respond to the prejudice or the persecution or the slander or whatever it is, when you respond to it with love, it is a greater power than evil can ever demonstrate. When we fight back, when we punch back, when we sue back, when we counterattack, we don't respond the way, but when you, sorry, I love you anyway. That's a whole different level of power. That leaves the enemy shaking his head. So you all know this story. It's been front and center for quite some time. It's a sad, sad story. It's got an amazing ending. For a story like this, it ends about as well as it can. On September the 6th, 2018, Botham, or Bo Jean, was sitting in his apartment in Dallas, Texas, minding his own business. 26 years old. He was accounting at the Price Waterhouse. He was in his apartment, minding his own business. 30-year-old police officer, Dallas police officer Amber Geiger, 30-year-old at the time, having just finished a 12 to 13-hour shift, somehow wandered into the apartment that Botham was in. She claimed she made a mistake. It's going to be debated until the earth hardens again whether she did or not. But she thought she wandered into her own apartment, did not seem to register that the furniture was different, the layout was different, saw him sitting there, thought he was an intruder, and shot and killed him. To make matters more exciting and more difficult, and to give evil more of a chance to jump on this, she's a white police officer, and he's an unarmed black man. Sound familiar? In Dallas. This week, Amber Geiger was found guilty of murder, of killing Botham Jean in his own apartment, an unarmed man, and then not rendering any aid afterwards. It's a horrible story. My friends, will never tend to speculate on what she was thinking or how much stress she was under. The act of taking someone's life like that is evil. I'm not saying Amber is evil, but that behavior, that action of shooting an unarmed person, killing someone who's not a threat to you, that's an evil. Murder is evil. That's why it's in the top 10. And when evil gets going, you could have riots in the streets, you could have retaliation against police officers. We've all seen it. And this had a chance to blow up. So on sentencing day this week, Botham Jean's younger brother, Brant, they had family members from Amber's family and Botham's family speak at the sentencing hearing, trying to give the jury enough to go on how much to sentence Amber to. She could have 5 years, she could have 99 years. And both sides were hoping their testimonies would influence the jury for an appropriate sentence for what she had done. One of the last members to speak from Botham Jean's family was his youngest brother, Brent. And he said, I heard this audio, he said, I was hesitant to say this in front of my friends and my family. He was speaking to Amber, but he said, I need you to understand, I hope you don't have to go to jail at all. He said, Bo was a Christian, we're Christians. He would never have wanted this, listen, he would never have wanted this to ruin your life. That's not the kind of guy he was. And he said, I know you're going to go to jail. I wish you didn't have to. And I forgive you. Now picture that. I forgive you. He then asked the judge if he could step off the stand and hug the now convicted murderer of his brother. The judge, Tammy Kemp, an African-American female, paused a moment and then said, okay. And so the photo you see was of Brant Jean embracing Amber Geiger this week in a Dallas courtroom. He said later in an interview, God has forgiven me so many times. How could I not extend that to her? Well, not to be outdone, in love, the judge then does something completely unheard of. She steps off the bench and approaches the convicted murderer, Amber Geiger. Says a few words to her, appears to be really moved, and then leaves the courtroom for a minute. And she comes back with her Bible that she had in her office. I've got goosebumps head to toe. She said, you can have this. I've got 4 or 5 more at home. And she quoted John 3:16. And she said, this is your job now. You have to learn this. And she said something to Amber, and Amber whispered something back to her, and the judge was over her saying, no, I'm not a good person. This is because of Jesus Christ. And then the judge embraced the convicted murderer, which made the Freedom From Religion Foundation really, really unhappy, which makes me very happy, by the way. Boom. Folks, that's power. That's power. Love triumphs over evil. Jesus only gives what Jesus is. Jesus gives the power to vanquish evil, especially through the form of love, because that's who he is. And he wants it to be in you. You may be in a situation right now where you need to forgive somebody, let something go, love someone who's just egging you on for a fight, for a lawsuit, for a divorce, and everything in you wants to load up and go after them. The evil that's out there doesn't stand a chance in the face of that kind of love. Proverbs 10:12. I read this morning in my quiet time, and I thought I needed to give it to you right now. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. That's power.